Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. My name is Josh, and I am joined by my friend and co-host, Alex. I feel like we're here just all the time now. Three episodes.
We're just pumping these out, Josh. We're
three episodes in under a week. Come on, you got to like the content. We thank you so much for listening, and we hope you will either tune in, listening right here on your favorite podcast platform, or watch the interview with our good friend Justin Penick on YouTube. It's really up to you. The options are in your hands, but we hope not only you tune into that, but you also tune into the NFL Scouting Combine, which we'll get into right now before we send it to the interview with Justin. That'll be the bulk majority of this episode. But here we go. Before we do all of that, before we do any of that, we got to check in on Alex. Come on. We have to be the care considerate friend that I am. And I know Alex would do the same. Alex, would you check up on me if I asked, how are you doing? Because that's what I'm asking right now. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And of course, I'd check up on you if I remember, of course, because I do have a terrible memory. But great. Yeah, I'm doing good.
That really makes me feel good inside. And that you would just, you know, happen
right,
to
at
forget.
Least you know, at least you know the effort would be there, all right? That's the most important thing, right? That's what we all say. But yeah, I'm excited. Scouting Combine, I believe, starts up like, I mean, it started already, but like really starting on Thursday. So that's exciting.
Tomorrow,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see some of these guys, some of these 40-yard dashes, some of the throws from the QBs, I should say. Yeah, overall, I'm just excited. I always love the Scouting Combine, and it gives me something to do at school when I'm bored. Unfortunately, I'm not that bored. And in class. Unfortunately, I'm not as bored as I would hope to be. It is kind of like, I mean, for me, it's not like midterms week anymore. It's like the end of it, but we still got like stuff. I know for Josh,
wait, you're
he's right
leaving
in the midst
tomorrow,
of it.
Right?
I am leaving tomorrow, yeah.
Oh,
for spring
my
break. So
for spring break. Yeah. Alex is already on spring break, basically. Or
right,
no.
Tomorrow. Give me a day.
Okay, give me a day. Okay. So right now the grind is like crazy today.
The grind is crazy. I mean, the grind is crazy today, but the grind's always crazy with the Giant Take. No one cares about
that,
my personal
that
personal
is true.
Work, but the grind never stops for the Giant Take, as
well,
you could tell
I'm
by three episodes
that,
in a week.
All I can say is that, you know, I still have a week to go and more, but you're gone
your
tomorrow. Okay, whatever.
Do
we don't need to go. We don't need to go full sad here. I'll survive. But
no
what
one
I will
cares
be,
about our personal lives.
What I will be doing, actually, no, they do care about our personal lives, because what I will be doing during my personal life over the next few days is watching the NFL Scouting Combine, which, as Alex says, starts tomorrow afternoon with defensive linemen and linebackers before they move into Friday with defensive backs and tight ends. Saturday is the fun day. That's why they put it on a Saturday in the early afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. EST. That's the fun offensive positions, quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs. And then on Sunday, of course, they put the one position that no one seems to care about, the offensive linemen. We do care about all those positions, though, and we will be tuning in to all of those drills. And then don't worry, because Giant Take will be right back here again, recapping our headlines and big takeaways from the NFL Scouting Combine. But besides what we talked about right now, we don't really have that much to preview, because all of the previewing is in our interview with Justin Penick. But before we do that, just a few plugs in here. Again, you can subscribe wherever. You can also hit us up on our social medias at The Giant Take Pod on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Alex on Twitter at anorian23. I'm on Twitter at joshola29. All of that info will be in the podcast description. Alex, anything else?
I think that's it. We had a really fun interview with Justin where we talked
Let's
about
say it one
combine,
more time.
Combine, every just anything you could think of that's happening in the Giants world, Giants realm right now, we talked about. So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, Josh, I'll let you transition into it.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we preview it anymore before going to it, which I'll do right now.
Why do you want to tease it one more time or no?
No, okay. I don't, actually. I want our listeners to enjoy it. So
there you go.
In one moment, after this break, you will get our interview with Talking Giants and John Boy Media's Justin Penick. Enjoy. We are back now with the one and only Giant Take Ring of Honor member. You know him very well. He celebrated many milestones of this podcast. And Justin, if you didn't know, we're now over 300 and you are on the 100th episode special. So we bring it back on. Talking Giants, JM John Boy Media Football, in, if you're watching on YouTube, inside the John Boy Media Studios, coming to us live from New York City. Justin Penick, how you doing, my man?
Hello, fellas. Episode 3, we're in the 300s?
We're 302, 303, something like
you're
that.
You're catching up to Talking Giants because we're in the 700s. You're catching up.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be catching up. I mean, as long as you guys keep pretty... I don't think that's how it works,
Alex,
Justin.
Episode every hour. We'll make it there by the new year.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. No, but hello. We're all friends. We're talking again. We're talking about the Giants. I like talking about almost not anything but the Giants with you guys. But I almost like talking about. Yeah, I will say anything but the Giants with you guys because we've been friends for so long, and the Giants aren't super fun right now. But our lives are super fun. So no, but let's do it. Let's talk Giants. Let's do what we got to do. I love you guys. It's been great to know you guys for the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, we had Bobby on, I guess it was last week, right, John?
Yeah.
It was last week, and we had a funny YouTube comment, and he was saying, or someone commented that.
Oh yes.
Bobby was talking with Justin Penick and Daniel Jones. So apparently I look like you and Josh looks like
Daniel
Jones.
And I look like Daniel Jones.
So
that's a compliment. That's a compliment for me to be compared to you, Alex.
Oh,
I mean, I was thinking the same way, but
you're flattered, Alex.
I'm flattered. I mean, the Daniel
Josh,
Jones.
I've seen Daniel Jones in person now a couple times. Flex.
Okay.
He's a much more handsomer person in person compared to via a screen.
I don't understand the Daniel Jones reference at all. Because I've only seen him also wear glasses like a couple of times here and there.
Yeah, he's not a glasses wearer.
He's not really a glasses wearer, but thanks, I guess. I when I first saw the comment and I sent it to Alex, I said, who is who? And he immediately said that he looked like you. So he seemed
Daniel
to
Jones.
Be deaf. Why is that obvious, though?
Hair color.
I mean, here's the thing. I could see, you know, some people wear glasses before bed. Like if they do reading
or
if they watch
TV. No, I've seen him wear glasses before. I've seen him, you know, when I've seen him wear glasses when he's been on the show with what's her name? The weekly when he had a weekly segment with the former NFL Network Good Morning Football.
So
host.
Daniel
K. Adams. Yeah.
Thank you.
So I think Daniel Jones is a at home when you glasses get up in the wear. Morning, when you get up in the morning or before bed, glasses are on. I've never seen him with glasses on though.
Really? Yeah, you gotta watch. I think he's been on with Kay Adams, he's worn them. Probably like right before he goes, you know, take off the contacts and right before in the morning before he puts on the contacts. That's what
that's such a great call.
Yeah. So well, we can talk about Daniel Jones and glasses wearing all day, but another thing that is coming up this week that also John Boy Media had their very famous own version of just come out recently, you know, slight plug there for you guys as well. The scouting NFL scouting combine. Now, I don't know which one is better to watch, the NFL scouting combine or the John Boy Media combine, but I think they're both up there. So we will ask you, though, your favorite performers from each. First of all, the John Boy Media combine. Who were your favorite? Are you allowed to shout out yourself from this? Or?
Well, yes. I mean, I give elite performances every single year in the 40-yard dash that came out.
Absolutely.
On Tuesday, the 27th, and then the rest of the week on Wednesday, Thursday, we'll have the rest of the videos coming out as well. But I love, like, the 40 is just my favorite video every year. Like, if we could just, I know we have to add wrinkles every year, and we can't just do the same thing. But if it were up to me, we would just do the same thing every year, because I love hearing and watching people run. Like, Rob Scirocco, and he... Well, at the line, and he just goes run, 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 for 40 yards. It cracks me up. Joe's McFly, before he pops his hamstring, is at the line being like, oh, shit, this is going to F me up. And then lo and behold, he like pops his hamstring at like the 30-yard marker.
Alex, did you see that video, by the way?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it yet, top 10,
no,
like, you have to watch it.
When they come out, that's the first thing I click. I always see the 40-yard. After Justin's first performance in the first combine you all did, where he was kind of...
Oh, I just ran with my neck.
It's
like I have two left feet. I gallop. And
I'm looking for the improvement. I'm trying to see, like, you know...
Well, here's the thing. I lost a lot of weight like 1 or 2 years ago. And then I've gained a little bit of it back, and I'm getting faster. The more weight that I gain back, the faster and the quicker that I get. And the year that I ran with my neck is when I was skinniest, and I was very slow. It's almost like my body was not proportionally right and together.
Yeah.
So that's my theory. I said that on the video. So I think the fatter that I get, I think the
faster
that
I get. Yeah, so ever since that, I've been an instant watcher. I'm waiting for it every
year. Thank you. No, but that's it's a lot of fun. Everybody, we got some... The video came out while there was still a good amount of people in the office, and the fact that I was hearing laughs at different locations at different times, I'm like, oh, okay, this is good, this is funny. So we always have a blast with that.
So we moved from the John Boy Media Combine to the NFL Combine. What a transition. So we talk about people and performances and that. Are there any players specifically or positions specifically that you're looking forward to at this year's Combine?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be lying. Every year it's like you're always behind on draft prep. But I mean, I think as the years have gone on, I've taken way more stock into cornerback 40-yard dash times. I'm especially really looking forward to the corners with their arm lengths. Like, I think if you're 30 inches or over, that's like a plus. It's like, all right, you got a shot to be good in the NFL if your arms are over 30 inches in the NFL. And you could run somewhat of a respectable 40-yard dash time. But if you have arms that are shorter than 30 inches, so I almost, for corners, I definitely look out for that and their 40-yard dash time. Same thing with receivers. Their 40-yard dash time, we've seen some of the combine heroes like Chase Claypool a couple years ago. He really raised his draft stock at the combine, and he's been an all-right pro, I guess underwhelming. But, you know, a lot of the guys that do run fast 40s and they really stand out. What I think it does is it doesn't make you say, oh, this guy's a first-round pick, second-round pick. What I think it makes you do is, huh, this guy's worth looking more into. And that's what I always kind of take from the combine is, oh, this receiver threw well. This running back was fast. This lineman had a fast shuttle time. I think now you kind of take those athleticism pieces and it's like, all right, well, what players are worth looking more into? Or if there's a player that has like athleticism questions, and it's like, well, you know, for the linemen, they didn't run a good, you know, they didn't run a good shuttle, whatever other drills are important for linemen. This corner, he has long speed issues. Well, what does his 40 look like? And if his 40 is slow, it could confirm. So that's kind of like what I look for out of the combine. If a guy shows up to be an athletic freak, then it's like, oh, you put him, you write his name down, and oh, that guy's worth looking into more, and that guy's worth watching after the fact. But I certainly don't take anything of the combine and be like, oh, this, because he had a good combine, that means he's like a first, second round pick or whatever.
It gets the people talking. I think that's really like what we're all getting at is that's what it, whether it's scouts, whether it's social media, whether it's fans, etc. You know, one fast 40 time that's in the top 5 40 times of all wide receivers, etc. gets people talking. I think that's what's so successful about the NFL combine.
And I've never really looked forward to quarterbacks throwing before because as a Giants fan, we've just had Daniel Jones, and there hasn't really been since 2019 and since I've been kind of really knee-deep in this stuff, there hasn't been any kind of, right, the Giants are going to take a quarterback in this year's draft. You know, it's here. It could happen this year. So Jaden's not going to throw Daniel. Jaden Daniels isn't going to throw Caleb. I don't even know if he's probably showing up, but I don't think he's doing anything. Probably just going to talk with teams. You know, so the one guy that I'm excited to actually watch throw is J.J. McCarthy because I have this thing right now where I think J.J. McCarthy's very good at driving the ball towards the middle of the field, but I have some concerns about him driving it out towards the sidelines and, you know, kind of pushing it out there and outside the numbers. And that's where Daniel Jones has his really big issues right now is he has barely any attempts outside the numbers and towards the hashes, towards the sideline, excuse me. So, that's like another thing that I'm looking out for. And any quarterback that runs a 40, I'm excited to see how fast they are, how fast they move too. So quarterback, you know, that's usually the position that we're kind of not watching as Giants fans, but I'm kind of locked into quarterback this weekend.
Yeah, and you've got players like Bo Nix also who kind of, I know, had a disappointing Senior Bowl, obviously, which you were at, which we'll talk about in a couple minutes. But, you know, players like that who are kind of teetering on that late first round range, early second round. Can they push themselves into the first round? I think that's going to be interesting as well. But like you said, quarterback's a really interesting position because now we've seen, again, over the past few years, a lot of players that maybe didn't have the best tape, you know, coming out of college, maybe came from smaller schools, but they come into the combine, they run a really fast 40, you know, they have a really good arm length, like you mentioned, 30 plus inches. And you see them go, you know, maybe not super high, but higher than you'd expect, and end up being pretty decent pros. Cause you know, Josh and I always talk about this, but draft, you know, the draft process, it's really always about projection. So, you know, I think if you, the cornerback position is one that you can project, you know, a lot better from the combine than any other. And obviously you need to have the intangibles, right? You know, reading the game, you know, that kind of thing. Can, do you have that it factor at corner that we see all these guys who have, you know, the high interception numbers, whatever it may be. But yeah, corner is a good shot. I wasn't really even thinking about that one, but now that you said it, it definitely makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, especially when you get the official arm measurement and maybe not the pro day where they'll add a, you know, let's add an eighth or a quarter of an inch here, a half an inch here, and
oh, his fingernails, you know, were extra long that day. Like,
yeah. So the combine, you'll get the official one. So that's what I really lock into for
yeah.
that.
So Alex mentioned the Senior Bowl. We mentioned it to Bobby, but I want to say it to you too. The favorite ever, like, I think content wise with you guys, and it's like nothing like against Talking Giants at all, but the couch, Simple Man Radio, with you, Snacks, Bobby, like all just crowded in onto that one couch. I think that was Simple Man Radio. We were trying to figure out the year. What is that? Like 2021, maybe?
It was 2021 or 2022. Yeah.
All stuffed in that couch.
It was
the
first
room,
year,
like,
you guys went, right? Or was that,
well, like all of us. Yeah. Cause there was one or 2 years where Bobby went by himself.
Yeah.
And then when I started full time and when I, after I graduated college. So yeah, that was 2022. That was all of our first year.
Okay.
All of our first years going. So,
well, anyway, my favorite like piece of content ever. That was the and then you prank called Pizza Hut. Or something. Yeah.
Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, we wound up getting the Pizza Hut too. So that was the important part there. But 6'7", Bobby Skinner on a couch. Me, who I'm not the, you know, I'm not huge, but I'm not the smallest person in the world. And then you had Snacks and Grump there too. Just the four of us on this couch.
Yeah, I forgot about Grump.
In a hotel room with the lighting and oh my god! One of my favorite stories one of my favorite stories to tell is I would make every year. This year we got an Airbnb and it was awesome. Like we were able to actually have like a little bit better lighting and you know we. It was just better than a hotel, better Wi-Fi and everything. We also just got different access this year, which was awesome too. But when we stayed at the hotel and we did everything at the hotel, I would make everybody bring their lamps to my room for lighting because we didn't bring lighting. We actually brought like lighting this year too, so we even did that better. But in years past, we didn't bring any kind of lights or lighting, and you know the camera that we have, you know, is pretty good at adjusting to the light, but I still needed like more because the, you know, regular hotel rooms, especially if it's dark at night, it's not enough lighting. So I would have everybody like Snacks, Grump, Bobby, bring your lamps. And there would just be a million lamps. It looked like that crazy lady from Stranger Things with all the lights that were in my room. So that's like one of my favorite like behind the scenes stories to tell from the Senior Bowl.
All right. I mean, yesterday we've got like, you know, the big Joe Shane press conference, right? It's always a big spectacle. Everyone expects him to announce something huge. Of course, he doesn't say anything really of that big significance. Of course, we had. Did you see the funny like prank call?
It wasn't a prank.
I mean, not a prank.
Charlie's
call.
A real person. Who,
yeah.
I can't believe they let him in. They knew, and this is credit to John Schmelk, and this is credit to Madeline Burke, because they did have some questions yesterday that were good questions and a little bit tougher. And they know, like Madeline Burke very clearly saw, like, oh, this is Charlie calling for wherever. And if you know the Twitter spaces, Charlie is insane. And the fact that they let him on air, that loose cannon on air, I thought he was going to drop F-bombs and everything. But then good for Charlie for staying professional. And good for them on allowing that call to come in and even that question being asked to Joe Shane. Yeah, so I actually thought that we got way more out of Joe Shane talking on the side to the media and that fan Q&A. We got way more out of that than the actual press conference that he that he gave. So
What was this? Wasn't the free agent question? This is different. This prank call, Charlie. Question.
Yeah, it wasn't a prank. It was just more funny. That's kind of what I meant to say.
Oh,
but like,
okay.
Daniel
so
Jones is horrible. You mentioned the Minnesota game. Oh wait, hold on. The lights have to turn back on.
So yeah, while Justin goes and turns on the lights,
nope,
I haven't seen that clip. I saw the free agent one, which
I think
sounded like a kid. Well, yeah. Alex, did you see the one where like it was like a kid who called in or something?
Yeah, that was
like,
funny too.
So
yeah.
Are you going to go after a free agent?
Are you into the free agent? And he's like,
that's what
I'm the Giants or off the Giants? Yeah. So that was fun. I don't know if that was a prank call, but it was just.
No,
that,
I think
that
was
fun. Yeah,
it sounded like a kid calling in.
So but Charlie stole the show.
Right? I have to see that. I have to watch.
I was
him.
Like,
I missed
you mentioned Daniel Jones against the Viking game, and that's the game that everybody brings up. This guy's horrible. mentioned the Dallas game and whatever. So
oh wow,
that, he's
okay,
a,
you
he's
should,
a
you should see
love.
Joe Shane's face. It was funny. Oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
We've never had anything like that before. Like I don't think
no,
they've ever.
That was crazy.
Yeah, never. Yeah,
it was
crazy.
Crazy
I don't
that
think,
they let him.
Lie. Honestly, like to. To be fair, Josh, like it didn't go as crazy on Twitter as I thought it would have gone. Like, not that many people were talking about it. Like, I thought like more people would have been like, kind
of
going
because a lot of people don't really know who Charlie is. Maybe a lot of people just thought, you know what, that's a really good question, Joe Shane. Why don't you answer?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
But the fact that I don't think not a lot of people know that. They very much knew who that was, and they knew what he was going to ask about, and they knew that the question was going to be, they had to know. Madeline Burke and John Schmilk had to know when they, or the producers, whoever, they had to know when they let that call in what it was going to be about, and they let it through.
Yeah. But one thing Joe Shane did say was, he's a guy we'd like to have back, referring to Saquon Barkley, which I think is probably the exact same quote, word for word, that he said last year. It's nothing new. So the same statement that he echoed last season, do you think it's going to be the same result?
No, the same result being the franchise tag. And I don't think they're going to tag him, and I don't think they're going to reach an extension. I think he's going to hit the open market, and I don't think he's going to be a Giant next year. I think it's time, man. I think it's time. And no matter how much I think privately Joe Shane may think, and this isn't even like he hates Saquon Barkley, but I think privately, and part of me hopes privately, that Joe Shane's like, you know what, let's cut ties, let's just go our separate ways. And then, you know, the thing that he could say at the next press conference, whenever that is, probably be after the draft, when they, if they ask about Saquon Barkley, or I don't know if he's probably going to talk before the draft, and the thing that he's going to say, well, we just couldn't reach an agreement, he wanted to be back. I wanted to be back. I wanted him to be back. We just couldn't reach a number that both of us could agree on, and that's probably going to be the answer. And I'm fine with it. But this is just it's a marriage that's only going on for the sake of the children. Like they're staying together for the kids, and it's not that. And usually that's not a good marriage. They need a divorce. I think for both of them, for both sides. The Giants need to focus on building a team that doesn't have Saquon Barkley as a focal point of it, because they've been trying to do that since 2018. It has failed. And Saquon Barkley also deserves the right to go get paid somewhere accordingly and compete. And I think a competing team would sign him. Like, you know, people are throwing around Houston Texans as a fit. I think that's a cool fit. And he deserves to go somewhere and try to win while, you know, he's still, you know, before he reaches that age 30 season. So I do think that it will not head in the same direction as it did last year with the franchise tag. I don't think they're going to tag him, and I don't think they're going to come up with an agreement. I think he's going to hit the open market and go somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I don't think he's going to get tagged. I don't think he's going to be with the Giants. But there was an interesting tidbit. I don't know if you saw this, that Joe Shane, I guess the question, I think it was posed right after talking about Saquon Barkley, was about the salary cap and kind of how it obviously has gone up dramatically this season. You know, and he kind of said that gives us more flexibility. And I forget the exact quote, but it very much like hinted that at the possibility of Saquon, you know, of course, when you tag someone, it hurts the cap for this season, right? You can't move it around, et cetera. But that could like kind of open it up, I guess, as a possibility. That was just kind of the sense I got from the like from the exchange. I'm not sure if you saw that.
But here's the thing. So the Giants have about 30 right now. They could release Golwinski for about 35. They still don't have, they don't have a lot of money. I think they're comfortable, but at the end of the day, if they want to go out and they want to sign a, like a, if they want to go out and sign like a Bobby Okereke type of free agent contract again, they need to push that money back because they need at least $10 million for, you know, the draft class. They're going to need, you know, a couple extra million to just get through the season and get through camp, right? So you're not going to be able to spend all of this. And I think Barkley, what the tag is around 13, is it 13 or 14 for the second tag for Barkley? That would be half. That would be already half of what you're already, you know, what your cap space is right now. And obviously, you know, you could restructure Bobby Okereke, you could restructure Dexter Lawrence and restructure Andrew Thomas. I don't know if the Giants really want to be in the boat of continuing to push money back. It sounds great where Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas are young players, where it's like, oh, they're going to be here forever, right? Just feels like they're going to be here until their 30s and they're going to retire as Giants, right? I just don't know. Let's cross that bridge when we get there. We extended those guys. Good on Joe Shane. Let's not continue to just push money back. We kind of got to – this is the era of the mistake of the Daniel Jones extension. It needed to be done, right? You know, I don't regret extending him in the time, but you got to, you know, deal with this $47 million cap hit, and this is part of it, where maybe you can't franchise Saquon Barkley for a second time. You know, maybe you do need to push McKinney's contract a little bit down the road if he wants 15, 16 million average annual, you know, APY, right? So I don't think, because the cap gave an additional, you know, $6 or $7 million, which it is significant and it's helped the Giants, I don't think that's enough to say, all right, now I feel comfortable tagging Barkley. Because I do think extending McKinney is the priority.
Yeah. I mean, for McKinney, are you open to the franchise tag for him? The transition tag, some are saying. Obviously, that's not used frequently. You know, you look at the safety market, and he's probably going to want numbers that, you know, Derwin James, some of the top safeties in the league are going to want. We know he's a very, I guess, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the word, but I'd say he's a very passionate individual.
He's an outspoken player.
Outspoken, passionate guy. And I think that could make negotiations very difficult. What is your kind of limit for McKinney? Like, where do you draw the line, and where do you think Joe Shane's going to draw the line?
Well, I don't think he's going to get a Derwin James, Minka Fitzpatrick contract, because he hasn't put up all pro years, right? He just hasn't done it. He's been a very good player. And where I think, this is where I hope that Joe Shane and McKinney's representatives, We're all reasonable here, because I think Joe Shane will give a reasonable contract for Xavier McKinney. You saw it with AT and Dex. They came to agreements there. And I think where hopefully McKinney's representatives, McKinney and Shane, will come together is with the guaranteed years. And I look at the Justin Simmons contract, for example. He got three guaranteed years with that fourth year. It may have even been a four or five year deal, but basically 3 years were guaranteed. And that's the number that I think really matters to these guys and these contracts. Is you will always react to 4 years, $64 million as a contract for Xavier McKinney, but then you got to wait for the guaranteed number. Is it in the 30s? Is it in the 40s? And I think if you can give Xavier McKinney three guaranteed years of good, solid money, and then maybe even add, you know, a fourth year with a little bit of dead cap, you know, guaranteed money somewhat down the line. That's what I think will hopefully get the deal done. Not the $18 million average annual, you know, per year, like Derwin James and Minka Fitzpatrick. But if you can tell Xavier McKinney, you have 3 years guaranteed here. Do you want to be here? You're 24, you're 25, and this will still, even when this contract kind of comes to an end, it'll still allow you to hit the free agent market again or come up with an extension by the time that you're 28, 29, and you haven't even crossed 30 yet. So hopefully that is where Joe Shane, like, that's where I'm leaning, and that's what I kind of hope is done. I certainly wouldn't mind three guaranteed years of Xavier McKinney if that's what it's going to take to get done.
Yeah, I mean, my concern with McKinney is that obviously he is such an outspoken guy. He is, you know, it kind of has that personality that I think, you know, the guaranteed money with him is risky, right? We've already seen him at this point, right? You know, in not this past season, but the season before, fall off the ATV.
Yeah, the ATV.
You know, he's been inconsistent. He's had kind of scuffles in the locker room with obviously the Wink and Dable situation and all that kind of stuff. But like, so I think there's some considerations to be taken with that also, that do you really want to give guaranteed money to a guy who's maybe somewhat unreliable off the football field, right? Obviously on the football field, he is very reliable because he played every snap of every game this past season. But you have to take that into consideration. Is he the type of guy that Joe Shane wants to keep around long-term? Is he that locker room presence that he wants to keep around long-term? And that I'm not positive about.
I don't think anything has been too dramatic in terms of like, oh, this is why you wouldn't want this guy around. I think that hopefully the ATV accident was a one-time thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, you know, he knew that he almost lost some freaking fingers. And then he knew that, you know, there was a chance that he may have lost a couple million dollars just from that happening. And, you know, not having him down the stretch for 2022, that may already be impacting him through these negotiations. So I'm confident that something like that won't happen again. But sometimes, like, after Odell got his money, right? Odell kind of planted a little bit of seeds before he got his money about how he can kind of be outspoken and it'll be a little bit of a distraction. And then he did get his money, and then he took it to a whole nother level with the whole Lil Wayne interview and everything like that. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back for that regime, and being like, all right, well, we literally can't have you throwing the coach and the quarterback under the bus. You know, no matter how talented you are, we literally can't have you doing that. So I'm confident that McKinney won't do that. I'm confident that he's going to be fine. I am confident that the extension and it's worth it. But you never know, where now that these guys, they get their guaranteed money and they feel a little bit more confident and entitled that they could say what they want and do what they want. I don't think it's that bad with it's not going to be like Odell levels with McKinney. But certainly it's something to think about. And I think the Giants hopefully have enough of a read on McKinney, whether he's going to do that or not, which I'm confident he won't.
I was just sitting back and listening there. I let you guys have your discussion, Alex. I wanted to talk. So you mentioned Odell Beckham.
Oh, sure.
This, well, far, 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 far transition. But I was going to say Odell Beckham wide receivers. We just did our top wide receivers in this year's draft. And I know you said for the scouting combine, you guys are a little bit, you know, not super ahead of your draft research. So if I'm putting you on the spot, you know, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. But I just didn't know if you had any standouts for your, you know, wide receiver class this year. Malik Nabers to the Giants. That's been, you know, out there. A lot of Giants fans want him as their wide receiver one, even though I feel like we just have done this the past 2 years. Wandell Robinson, Jalen Hyatt. And yet we're here again saying, we have a top 10 pick.
Those guys are late round guys.
Another wide receiver.
Those guys are later round guys. Second round, third round. I think
Jalen Hyatt wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah, but there's a reason he fell, and we've seen that.
Yeah. So I never. There's a reason why I was really excited about Jalen Hyatt in the third round versus, you know, if we took him at 25, I would have been like, no way.
Are you crazy? Yeah.
So, and that's the thing where, you know, Jalen Hyatt, he's just, I think he's one of the examples. And, you know, even guys like Xavier Worthy, and, you know, name any of the receivers that could be taken in round two or the latter part of round one. There's so many receivers, right? There's so many receivers. I think you're going to continue to see this year in and year out of, you know, even you take last year, for example. Last year was seen as like a bad receiver draft, yet you see how, you know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba could be good. He had some moments, and, you know, Zay Flowers obviously took off with Baltimore. Last year was considered like a bad receiver draft, and even some of those guys really did well. Puka Nacua, even like in the fifth round. So I think the depth that you get at receiver year in and year out because of how advanced the college offenses are becoming and how these guys are getting more athletic, they're getting faster, they're getting bigger, they're getting stronger every single year, we're going to continue to see, maybe not like having two wide receivers taken in the top 10 every year,
But we're going to see, I think, the depth of receiver just kind of, you know, every other year or every year, this is just what we're going to see in the NFL now. And that gets me excited. You know, it has me excited for the potential for the Giants. I think I lean Neighbors a little bit more because I think he's more athletic than the guy from Washington. I haven't really fully started yet. The combine's gonna help, but as I've watched Jaden Daniels, I've gotten like, oh, there's just Neighbors making this explosive play, and both of them are just making it look easy. So whether the Giants want to walk away from this draft and just take the stud in the top 10, or do you want to trade back, or do you want to wait on the receiver because you know that there's going to be depth there in the second round, and then there's a chance that you can get your alpha, possibly number one wide receiver in the second round, because yeah, those guys are that damn good. I'm excited for the possibilities because of the depth that this draft kind of holds. I mean, you could even double down. You could even take your guy in the top 10, and then you have, you know, three more top 100 picks in the second and the third round to take advantage of the depth at wide receiver, which the Giants, you know, the Giants, they need it. They need depth everywhere. And if you want to get the Giants need depth everywhere, number one, and they also just need really damn good football players. And that's really what covering, and this is a little bit of a side tangent. That's really what covering, like doing stuff with JM Football this year and covering the NFL, I put that in quotes, covering the NFL, what it really taught me this year. Looking at the rest of the NFL, you want to know what they have? You want to know what the 49ers have? You want to know what the Chiefs have? You want to know what the Ravens have? You want to know what the Bills have? They have really good football players at a lot of different spots. 49ers have an all-pro at every level of their team. They have Trent Williams, who's a future Hall of Famer. They have Christian McCaffrey, who's an all-pro offensive player of the year. They have Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. They have George Kittle. They have Nick Bosa. They have Fred Warner. They have really good secondary players as well. That's just one team. You look up and down these good teams, they have all-pro caliber players at every single spot of their team. The Giants do not have that. The Giants have Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence, and Bobby Okereke is, you know, good player, but he's a free agent. He's not a guy that we drafted and developed, and you don't know how long he's going to be here. And I think, and I would consider Xavier McKinney to be in that boat, but he's not an all-pro quality player. He's a good player. The Giants need great players, and that is the number one priority, whether it is wide receiver. This draft class is so important for Joe Shane because they've had the capital in the past, especially 2022 with two top 10 picks. I don't think they got a star out of any of their picks so far through 2 years, and that includes the two top 10 picks. Kayvon, excited for Kayvon in this new defense where Bowen is definitely going to emphasize getting to the quarterback more. Kayvon's got a shot, hasn't shown the consistency. The Giants need stars, and whether you want to grab that player in the top 10, whether that's a receiver, whether that's a quarterback, we'll see. But the Giants need stars at every level, and they do not have that right now. And that is how you're going to get to the top of the league.
Yeah, Alex, I know you're just about to ask that question. I know you're just about to ask that question. We're going to get to that in a second, actually, Justin. I just want to say it's so funny because, Alex, we had this exact conversation the other day, and then there's some, you know, on the cusp Giants fans, Alex. I don't know how you want to reference your dad here, but we, we're talking about the Giants stars, and we were talking to Alex's dad the other day, and there's some Giants fans who still think that it's only Saquon. And then he's like, well, if we don't have Saquon signed next year, then we don't have a star. And Alex is like, well, did you forget that Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence exist? And
but
he's
also,
like,
Saquon Barkley is a star? Oh, like, yes, I agree with that. Saquon Barkley, besides 2022, has not had a productive year for the Giants since 2019, which 2022 matters. It matters 100%. But he's entering year seven, and so he's had 6 years in the NFL. 2.5 years have been productive for Saquon Barkley in a Giants uniform. So you could say that Saquon Barkley is a star, but we're at a point where if we're gonna spend a high quality draft pick in you with high draft capital, it's not only just about the name factor. It's not only just about a presence.
you have to produce on the field. And Saquon Barkley, again, a great season in 2022. A lot of it was volume-based. It was not even extremely efficient in 2022. His explosive run rate has gone down every single year. That includes 2022. Again, a lot of it based on volume. So I don't even like when people, like, again, Saquon Barkley is a star. I understand that. But when you look at the production that guys like Andrew Thomas have given you, top tier, top quality left tackle play in the NFL, Dexter Lawrence over the last 2 years, one of the best defensive players in the NFL, not just interior defensive linemen, Saquon Barkley has not performed over the last multiple years of a sample size, has not been a top running back in the NFL. Has not. So
since his rookie year, pretty much. I mean, you could say. That's probably
2019.
He was great. But
great start. Sprains his ankle. Comes back too early. Struggles with that sprained ankle. And then finishes the season great. 2020, torn ACL. Sure. 2021, terrible. Terrible. Coming off the ACL. 2022, great. A lot of it dependent on volume. Not really extremely efficient.
Not a lot of explosive plays either, yeah.
And then last year, the offensive line, but that's the problem. That's the problem with investing in a star running back is that you need so much around him to be right, and the Giants can't get it right.
Yeah, we were talking about the first round, right? Joe Shane, he's obviously had Kayvon Thibodeau. Maybe he can be, a Pro Bowl consistent player, but obviously I don't think he has that high-tier edge rusher prowess that we've seen in some of the past year's drafts. Evan Neal at the moment looks like a big miss. Deontay Banks, obviously a little bit too early to tell, but looks like he could be a solid player.
Good player, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at number six this year. It's a big draft, like you mentioned, right? Because Joe Shane, if he misses again, it's bad, right? Because you've already had one miss with Evan Neal in the top 10, most likely. Obviously, we'll still give him a chance, but I kind of want to pose the question like this. Who is one player that you would be happy if the Giants selected, and who's one player that would have you freaking out if the Giants selected in the first round?
Pre-draft research, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want them to take the tight end.
Brock Bowers?
No. I think there's a chance that Waller might be gone, even though Joe Shane has said, we expect him to be back. Well, Brian Daboll also said that they expected Wink Martindale to be back. I think that some things have developed, and maybe Waller may or may not be here. So that's the tight end positional value. The tight end even more than running back for positional value, because even tight ends that are taken in the first round are like the hit rate is kind of like really. Not even hit and miss. It's kind of just like not worth it to take a tight end in the first round, take a tight end that high. Even though Brian Daboll really does like his tight ends. And, they were even looking at draft Payne Durham last year, who they had a top 30 visit with. The Buccaneers traded up one. We were live streaming the draft. The Buccaneers traded up one pick ahead of us in like the sixth round. And then you could see the camera cuts to Brian Daboll since the Giants were like up next, and he's like pissed. And the Bucs drafted Payne Durham right before us. They knew that we were going to do that. The tight end, Bowers. I want a quarterback. I want one of the top three. I want one of the big three. I think I lean Daniels over May as of right now. I just kind of started watching May. I watched three games of Daniels, and I like him, man. It's just so these three guys, obviously with Caleb and Drake May and Jaden Daniels, it just looks so easy. And the things that I'm looking at with quarterbacks this year, I'm not evaluating scheme and how he reads a defense. I don't know how to freaking do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to evaluate how a guy reads a defense or whatever decision making. Obviously, I'll look at decision making loosely, but I'm not a film guy. So I'm looking at, do you have a big arm? Can you push the ball down the field? Can you throw the ball outside the hashes? Can you drive it towards the middle of the field and utilize the middle of the field? But also, can you drive the ball towards the sidelines, right? When you have Jalin Hyatt that's running wide open on the sideline, can you get that ball to him? Can you drive that ball out there? So I'm looking for a big arm. I'm looking for a quarterback that can maybe make some tight window throws. There's, you know, there's going to be not wide open windows in the NFL. So can you make some of those tight window throws that's maybe going through a couple guys? And then I think the biggest thing for me is, can you move? You have to be able to move. Can you escape pressure? How do you deal with pressure in the pocket? And then can you keep plays alive in the pocket? Can you keep a play alive? Can you, whether it's in the pocket like Joe Burrow and Tom Brady do a great job of, or can you, Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, take it outside the pocket and either run, or are you looking to throw deep down the field? Those are the three things that I'm looking for out of quarterbacks this year. So I would love a quarterback. And if it's one of those top three, May, Daniels, or obviously you would have to trade up to get Caleb. That's what I want coming out of this year's draft.
And quarterback, the position I feel like that Giants hands had honestly talked about every draft since we drafted Daniel Jones. Like even after his rookie year, people were already looking at the NFL draft the following year to maybe, I feel like it's always been in the window there. It's always been like people have that in their wants.
But it was never really real. This year it's real. And I
it wasn't real last year.
No, not in the first round. Not in the first round. And I'm of the belief, like I'm not thrilled if they take like a Knicks or a Penix in the second round. I'm not really thrilled with that, because if the quarterback is the most
right, if we're going all in.
You got to go get your guy.
Go all in.
Yeah.
If you're going to take a quarterback, then you view him as the best player on the board and the best player available at that time. And I don't know, because you also see what, you know, I say that, but then you also see what Dable was able to do with Tyrod Taylor and Tommy DeVito and even Daniel Jones in 2022, where it's like, okay, well, Dable may not need the most talented guy, but also I would also want the most talented guy. Like I would want the guy with the big arm. I would want the guy that could throw, that could flick of the wrist 50 yards and the ball just flies and there's so little wasted movement and the guy would just natural talent. Like I want that guy. So I feel like if you invest in like a Bo Nix or a Penix, then it's like, well, if there's an opportunity in next year's draft to, whether it's to trade up or take, we may not want to because we took this guy for the second round. So I don't know. It always just feels like, at least to me, unless it works, then I'm all for it, right? Quarterbacks outside of the first round, it's like, is it really worth it? Like, do you really believe that this guy could be the next guy?
How many have hit over the past few years? You just got to think of it. Like, look at the draft. Like, I mean, there's a few.
You do have Dak. I mean, you have the Purdy's. You have the Dak Prescott's of the world. I mean, you have that, but yeah. I don't know if that's the majority.
But none of those guys are the elites in the NFL, are they, right? Like, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Lamar's the closest, obviously, 32nd overall, but, you know, Mahomes.
That's still the Ravens' first pick, I'm pretty
Burrow,
sure.
Burrow,
so.
Yeah, Herbert, like, you know, so there is a... All those guys are top 10 picks, if I'm correct. Yeah, top 10.
And if any of those guys, like, I don't think Bo Nix has the same natural gifts as the top three do. I don't think people say that Michael Penix has. I don't think Penix's game is going to translate very well to the pros, especially because if you want to talk about somebody that can improvise and that could run and that could extend plays, Penix can't really do that. So, yeah.
Alex?
Yeah, I don't
know. You're good.
I think you, yeah. I agree.
I agree.
Oh, we have strong, does anybody disagree?
No. Nothing. I just think every single year we've been saying about this quarterback thing, I know it hasn't been real in quotes, but it's always been on the social medias, obviously, and all the Giants fans saying you need a QB1.
I think what's on social media versus what's going on in the front, obviously it's two very different things. And, you know, here's the one thing where I think what draft was Hendon Hooker? Was that last year?
That was two years ago.
It was 2 years ago?
Was it last year? Because he was that Tennessee, Hendon Hooker?
Yes.
Yeah. They liked him a lot.
So maybe the Giants liked him. It might have been last year because he threw to Hyatt.
Yeah, so the Giants liked him a lot, but it wasn't in the first round. Like, I know. Hendon Hooker wasn't going to be taken in the first round.
I still don't believe that it'll be a first-round thing this year, but that's the whole point of the draft. Now we wait and see.
Because, I mean, the thing is, I think if there's one of the big three there, or let's just say Mayer Daniels, because Caleb's not falling.
Yeah.
If Mayer Daniels is there, you think that they would not take them?
Yeah.
At six? No, I think
they would pass.
I do. Because
I think they would pass.
Shane loves Daniel Jones too much.
He doesn't. That's just what he says.
You're putting too much. I think you're putting way too much stock.
I think he wants him to prosper like way too much. And I think also Dable has put too much chips down to say that they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round and then bench Jones after that. And I don't know. And
you don't need to bench Jones right away.
Yeah.
No, you don't. But then here's the thing. Then what about Dable's job at the end of the season?
Well, you start him halfway through, obviously, probably.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because if Dable...
I think them drafting a quarterback this year helps Dable
helps
and Shane's job chances.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's what I'm trying to say. But I... All right. I'm just putting myself in a hole, and
I just
I'm
don't
not
think
gonna
any
leave
of
myself out.
It's worth having the conversation because I'm sure like some there's I've seen a lot of people in our comments and stuff like that. There are a lot of fans that are.
I feel like it's more likely they'll draft Malik Nabers even if a guy like Jaden Daniels is on the board at six.
None of those three guys are going to be there at six.
Alex, you just bring up
you
the point
have
where
to
I think
trade
you're
up.
Correct. I think they're not going to be there.
Even if you could
and
trade up.
And they're not going to trade up for it.
Well, I don't think they'll be able to.
There is no way Joe Shane is trading up for a quarterback. Someone can clip this right now and throw me under the bus when they do it.
This will be so funny in a couple
months.
Not.
There is no way Joe Shane and the New York Giants are trading up for a quarterback.
Yeah, but
you
look at it, the Bears are going to take one, right? Clearly at this point. I think it's 95%
Justin
chance.
Justin Fields is
Washington's
gone. Going
to take one. And why wouldn't New England take one? I don't know how you
especially
even
now
trade
without
up.
Belichick, too. Because I think
I don't know
a
how
big
you
reason
up,
why
yeah.
Mac Jones was still a quarterback in New England was because Belichick was still the head coach of the New England Patriots.
I mean,
Future picks talk.
I get it.
This is
going to
be a
never-ending
talk.
But it's a new regime in New England. It's different. I don't know.
What better way to start off your regime by taking a Giants first round pick and taking their second round picks, and you never know. That's what Bill would do.
Knows.
I don't
only
know.
Way Bill's I can see gone. It happening, JJ McCarthy flies up draft boards and he goes to the top three and then one of those guys falls.
That's one where I wouldn't be mad, but I wouldn't be thrilled.
All right.
We'll have to see.
At Talking Giants, at John Boy Media Football as well, and at Justin Penick on Twitter. Justin, once again, great conversation with you. We thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on the show today and to many more, I'm sure, in the future.
We're going
to
talk
in the
summer after the draft.
At training camp. And then also Bobby now got us engaged in this license plate guy softball charity match that we didn't know about.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll be there too. Yeah, exactly.